13th, 2026 you'll ever have in your whole existence. There'll never be another day like this one. So today, let's make this day the day that we rejoice, celebrate, lift up our voice in victory unto our great and glorious King. For this is a day that the Lord has made, and this is a day that He will take the impossible and do the possible. May the glory and the may the glory of the Lord arise upon you today, and may His face shine over you in Jesus' mighty name. Well, it is good to be with us, you all, on this Tuesday morning. A little bit warmer today than it was yesterday. I can't say tremendous amount, but definitely not as bad this morning. Yesterday was pretty chilly when you got out there, and no ice or anything on the car this morning, so it felt a lot better. It's being Tuesday. We've got the Miss Crystal's opening her computer or something over there.
She's sneaking up
on
it.
Sorry.
You can do it. Your Bible.
I was unzipping my cover, and it's like,
trying
oh, my
to
God.
It so gently. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Sound effect. Sound effect.
It's done.
Oh, Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, man. Oh. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Jeannie. Yeah. Miss Karen, how are you?
I am doing great myself.
Amen. And Miss Crystal, how are you this morning?
I am good. I am blessed and highly favored.
Wait a minute. Hannah will tell you in a minute.
Yeah. And Miss Hannah, how are you?
I'm feeling much better. I'm good. And still full of gratitude.
Amen.
We were waiting on that.
Yes.
Amen. I'm claiming that feeling better myself. I'm praising Him before it happens. Amen.
Praise Him all the time. That's
praise
right.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Let your soul rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are excited for what this day holds. Got a couple of great announcements. Got the January 21st and 22nd. Put those in your calendar. 21st, Brother Lance will be here with us on a Wednesday evening. Revival service, tending the fire. For anybody that wants to come out and join us, please come on out. Brother Lance brings a great word. Just the fire of God we're expecting to be there, and the impartation, the equipping of the Holy Spirit, and His Spirit filling us that night. And then the following night, Brother Lane's going to hang out with us again for a men's gathering. So that night, all men are welcome to come. We're going to do like some kind of chili potluck at 6 o'clock p.m.
Sounds good.
And then following that up with worship and a word for the men. So Wednesday 21st for everybody, Thursday the 22nd for the men. And so very excited for that. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Any other announcements?
Yeah, what's the difference between amen and amen?
Just the stressing of
where
the
where you live.
Yeah.
Just don't spell amen like omen.
Omen. No, omen. But amen.
Spell it the right way.
I always say amen. So is it really a culture thing? Or is it?
Oh, I say amen all the time. But
I say amen.
Sometimes for dramatic effect, we say amen.
You had your
amen.
Preacher voice on there.
Oh, hey, that's how they sing it.
That's right.
Don't sing today.
Amen.
Well, that's how they. So you sing amen different than you say it?
Yeah, because what's the blessing? Amen.
See?
You can't say amen.
That's why.
I probably could, Crystal. I can pull it off.
They say, that girl's from Kentucky.
I've been practicing the singing, so, you know, it's in there.
We're believing it. We're believing it with you.
Amen.
There's a seed somewhere in there.
Excuse me.
Yeah, when you sing, your mouth is supposed to go vertical.
Mm-hmm. It's an awe thing, isn't it?
That's probably.
I skipped that class. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, that's probably why I'm not singing right. My mouth goes, it's very horizontal.
I was trying to teach the kids that, and they were dying laughing. I said, I was taught that you're supposed to have the room to have a golf ball in the back of your palate to have. With it being open like that.
It's
and
the
they
old
were,
face.
They were trying, and they were like, I can't do it.
My throat closed up.
That's not happened today for me.
Let you hit that high note.
Believe it or not, I was too scared to try out for choir in high school. Because I was not the way I am now. I was very shy. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Now you're all bold and arrogant.
Well, that's it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's all that is.
I can't even open my mouth large enough to drink this morning. Unless I'll get a golf ball back there.
That's like poor Ezra. He's still struggling, but he is getting better.
Yeah.
So.
Amen.
I felt like an old man this morning walking from my truck to the front door. I was like, I'm out of breath. What? Take a break at this front door.
Yeah, this is when you really thank God a lot. It's every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Amen.
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 All right, well, we...
yeah, here we go. I was going to say, oh, no.
We've got our verse, memory verse of the week, Micah 6:8. Jason Miller chose this for us yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're doing this one. I'm going to read the New King James Version. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God or with your God?
Who remembers that song? Mm-hmm. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee?
Is that a season song? Is that a season song?
That is a very 70s season song. That's how I can always remember that scripture, though. It's a, you know, back in the 70s, you can say what you want. Everything was just about scripture.
All the songs were age and all that.
It was
so they always sang scripture. Yeah.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? Everything was a scripture. So when I hear the scripture, I'm like, unto thee, I know the song.
That's why they remember.
I know. I'll do the same thing. I'll be listening to somebody preach, and all of a sudden they'll hit one of them song scriptures, and I'm like, okay, it's in my head.
All day.
Okay, so far two of the three memory verses have been songs. The first one, I don't know that salvation one. Of being a song.
What's the song? I mean, what was the scripture?
Well, I hope you know the salvation one.
Being a song, the way it was worded, it was Acts 4:12, right?
Mm-hmm. Acts 4:12, yes.
That was our first week.
Yeah.
I can't remember the...
What's the verse?
You don't remember that.
Yeah, once you remember the reference.
For there is salvation in no one else.
Oh.
For there is no other name given under earth by which men shall be saved.
Acts 4:12.
Among men. Sorry.
And that's a song? I don't know that song.
No. I'm saying that's the only one out of our three that I don't know of a song.
Could be. Only if I'll write as long as I can say amen in it somehow.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely songs about salvation, but I don't know if they're worded like that.
Right,
that's a lot of words and in one verse.
we have a task to do.
I know I shared this yesterday with Jason and Gretchen, but it was like... I've started my own little private systematic theology class with a textbook. So each week I'm going through 1 to 2 chapters and do my own notes and quizzing my own self. I'm pretty much making myself do a class just to help refresh some things. And in the end of these chapters is a hymn. He does a hymn, and then he does a contemporary worship song. So that flows into what the chapter's talking about.
That's
interesting. Most of these hymns I've not known, so I've kind of got to read through them. Now, I'm not singing them to myself. Tried that on the first one. Didn't work very well. So I just read them, but the lyrics. And then I'm finding myself, like even during the work day, I had a headphone in for partial, very limited amount of time. And then when I'm finding myself with any kind of thing in my ear to listen, it's been hymns lately. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is. I've just been on hymns, and I've been really – I think it's because I'm just in this theology moment of my life trying to work some things out. And I don't know, like, I feel like I told him the other day, I said, I'm doing the first read through the New Testament, and I'm just like highlighting, and I'm pretty much picturing Crystal's Bible and trying to make my look like hers. But the second read through of the New Testament I want to do, and this sounds really fun to me, and I'm already started in my head, is I don't want to put any notes. I just want to put questions. So if I'm reading a verse, I want to take it out to the side and say, question. And then I'm going to fill up the whole journal Bible with questions in the New Testament.
You know, that's how I study.
Yeah.
I sit down and start writing questions.
Yeah.
I mean, it stirs me up as far as, where are we going today, Lord? And then I start getting a sense about what I'm going to read, but I'll start writing questions.
Yeah.
This is what I want to know.
What is it? Is it apologetics that tells you, ask, you know, what is the scripture? What is the time frame of the scripture? Is that right? And who's talking? Who are they talking to? And you break it down like that, and it creates a atmosphere for you where you're not just saying there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people we must be saved by it. Then you would say, who is writing this? Mm-hmm. You know, well, we know it's in Acts. And we won't go over.
No, no, it's good. It's good.
My questions are different than.
But I'm saying they say that it helps you. And who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to me for one. You know, he's talking to the people. Whatever. You know, I'm just saying. If you look it up, I don't know who he's talking to specifically, where he's at is what I'm saying in this chapter. And then you just begin to ask questions. What is he trying to relay? What is, you know, are they receiving it? You know, and so you create more interesting reading when you do it that way.
And a depth of understanding, really. And, you know, it's like just reading through Matthew, I had so many questions. Like, even though I've read Matthew, I really don't know how many times I've read Matthew.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But yeah, I had so many questions still. And like Matthew 18, I caught he's talking about, I think it's Matthew 18 or Matthew 20. Okay, well, it's in there. Sorry, I'm not sleeping very good right now. But it's like he's talking, suffer the little ones come unto me. But he said, but he progresses on in that context of suffering the little ones to come unto him and talking about the little ones. And he basically says, for their angel is always before the face of the Father. But it says there. It's a possession. It's like their angel is always before the face of the Father. And that really just got me so intrigued because we've been talking about angels. So it's like, I don't know, it's just that kind of fun stuff.
You know, we had a conversation about this, and I'm kind of shifting gears a little bit, but we were talking about how different people are and how they learn different and they study different, and just the difference in Todd and I. Now, Todd doesn't, like, he honestly, he can't hardly read King James. It throws him. And I have a hard time with King James. Everybody
do. Mm-hmm. I don't.
But for him, you can ask him.
I love King James.
Well, anyway, I won't tell you what my version is because I'm going to get persecuted. I already have. But anyway, what we were saying is, like, Todd can tell you history are things in the Bible that I can't retain for some reason. There's some things that I do. I know the stories. I know I've read my Bible over and over and over. But to know, oh, so-and-so went, and you remember when he did that war, and you remember when so-and-so was there, and I'm like, I know I read. And when I go to it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, Todd can retain all that. Mm-hmm. I can retain Scripture. They just stay with me especially the Psalms and the, you know, even Isaiah right now that I'm into, you know, just I can retain those, you know. And so that's the different way. So we should never, you know, just because we say the big word apologetics and we say things like, what are you studying? Systematic, whatever, da-da-da-da-da-da, that you said. Systematic what?
Theology. Just
I thought you said three words. I thought you said, I'm like, good Lord, what does that mean?
I might have.
Yeah.
We might have to
systematic
sing
theology,
again, yeah.
something. And I was like, whoa.
I'm not for sure if I don't have a fever this morning. So there's no telling what I'm going to say at this point.
That kind of hurts my brain just saying it, systematic, whatever. But we all learn different and we all study different. As long as we're studying and grabbing into it. I heard this morning. I think it was Karen Wheaton that was saying it. And she was on an airplane. And she said, you know, when you get on an airplane and they tell you to, you know, if you're with a child, you know, your mask comes down. Don't do the child first. Do yourself. And what she was saying is, and you wonder why would, you know, our nature would be to take care of the child first, you know. And she was saying, as long as we're plugged in, we can take care, then we take care of the child. But if we're not plugged in, then it's hard for us to take care of others. So and if you can understand what I'm saying, what she was saying is your life source at that moment is Jesus. Your life source is, you better hang on to him, you know, if you look at it from the plane, you know. And we want to pour into others, but are we receiving from the life source?
The thing that the Lord showed me a long time ago, the best thing I could ever do for anyone around me is continue on with the Lord myself.
Right.
Because that is going to be the thing that draws, you know, that draws them to a life they don't have or whatever.
Yeah.
So just keep going. You have to be on ongoing in your relationship with the Lord if you want to share Jesus.
Because people can discern. Mm-hmm. They know quickly whether you're tuned in or not, or if you're playing church, you know.
That's right.
So we need to be grounded, always. Yeah.
Well, I count on the Holy Spirit. He really does. If he don't do his job, I've had it. I know that.
I know.
So he'll bring that stuff back up, and he'll tell me what I need to remember.
And it's funny, you're praying for somebody and a scripture pops up, and
that's
you're like,
right, that's right.
I don't even remember how long ago it was I read that, you know. But
yeah, and then I know there's so many times that, like, something pops in your head, and you're like, that's really good. I wonder if that is a scripture. It's right there. Has that ever happened to you? Like, that's really good, Lord. Yeah. Sounds like a scripture.
Well, anything pops in my head has to bear out the scripture.
Yep.
I know that.
I feel like I have a pretty good memory too. Like, even if I haven't read a scripture since I was a kid, like, there's so many times that, like, when I first got saved, I read something and I probably honestly haven't read it since then, or it's maybe. But that happens to me a lot, where the Lord will bring back a scripture, and I feel like I don't know it, but then I'm like, oh, no, I've read that. It's just been a really long time, and it seems foreign to me, but it was in there. And that's the power of the seed.
Yes.
It's
like
the
seed.
Because as soon as it gets in there one time, I mean, I truly believe it's in there. It's in our spirit.
And like, how many times is it connected to a testimony? Or how many times is it connected to something in your life that you remember, you know? Because in that season, you had to have it, you know?
But I do also believe that, like, I've heard from believers that never grew up in church, never had Sunday school, never got those seeds planted in them, and the Holy Spirit just spoke scripture to them that they had never read before. And then they go find it. Like, it's the same words of scripture, like Pastor Aaron was saying. I actually have two people in my life that happened to, because they never grew up in church anything. So, and then the
I'm
Lord
glad
would
they
speak.
Went to find it.
Really.
They're like,
that's important.
Yeah, this is a scripture. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's good.
And I do think it's wonderful what you were saying, Crystal, on, like, not everybody is these Autobots, like, where we're all the same, and we're uniquely fashioned, and people's gifted in different areas, people's gifted in that area. You know, I think, like, as a Bible teacher, I feel like it's my responsibility, and I think it's everybody's responsibility to be a Berean. All right, but if I'm going to stand before people, and I feel this conviction more and more every Sunday morning that I stand before people and lead them into God's Word, is to stop giving them fluff and to like give them substance and meat and equipping, and it's the elementary things are not shallow. Like, they're deep. We're the gospel, the goodness, breaking down scripture. And I feel like as a Bible teacher, it's our responsibility to dive as deep and get into the complexities of some things, to think deeply about who the Father is. As A.W. Tozer, what we think about the Lord really is the thing that determines who we are. Like, and how deep we think about Him, how deep we think of His ways, how much we wrestle with the text, how much we wrestle with this scripture, how we're doing all these things. And I feel like as Bible teachers, we've got to do better in our own studies, and then be able to take that to the teaching to where everybody can comprehend it. Because I've got to, as a Bible teacher, I'm not just teaching to those who are skilled with the Word. I'm also teaching them those not skilled with the Word.
That's right.
I have to reach the crowd that's wise and full of the Word and overflowing. Then I got to teach the people that's never been to a church before. And then we've got our kids, and it's not just children's church responsibility. It's all of ours, Bible teachers. And so I always find your best Bible teachers are the ones that from 8 to 80, everybody gets it. Like, when they leave the sanctuary, it's not the big words. It's why, you know, we really don't use a lot of big words, probably because I can't say half of them. I can read them, but I can't say them.
I can look like I'm saying them.
And so, but I mean, sometimes
I just don't know what they mean.
I know what they mean. I just don't know how to say them.
No, some I do.
One of the ways I gauge teaching in my own life, and I'll just be honest, and maybe it's right or wrong, but sometimes I'll just ask little ones, so what are you getting? Like, when you heard this sermon, what are you hearing? Because I need to know what they're hearing. And then I also need to know what the older generation's hearing. And I think that's the beautiful thing, where I'll never be a singer. I'm never good at the catchy phrases. Like, I've tried so many times. Acronyms or those fancy things like WWJD. Like, what would Jesus do? Like, I would never think of that. Like, honestly, I would never think of that. It's not the way my brain works. But to sit down and dissect a deep, complex issue or, you know, teaching or training on the, that's how my brain works. But I think that's the beauty of it, where everybody, Jeannie's going to bring something to the table, Miss Karen's going to bring something to the table, Miss Crystal's going to bring something to the table, Miss Hannah's bringing something to the table, Ezra's going to bring something to the table one day, Liam's going to bring something to the table, and everybody's got an investment into the kingdom.
Right.
And instead of trying to be like everybody else, like, God's put Crystal and Todd together because they think differently. And now they're complementing each other, where he lacks, she makes up, where she lacks, he makes up. And even, I think that even goes into our Bible study. Like, we're put together with people because I can't study the Bible alone. That's what I'm finding. Like, I want to be a Berean who searches things out, but I need the wisdom that Miss Jeannie brings to the table. I need the wisdom that Ethan brings to the table. I need the wisdom. Like, I need to know what you're seeing too, because what I'm seeing and you're seeing, if they're not going together and they're walking hand in hand, one of us is wrong.
That's right.
And we just need to stay at the table until we figure out what the scripture's saying, because at the end of the day, it should be about truth. Mm-hmm. And maybe I got a little bit piece of the pie, and you got a little bit of the piece of the pie, and we need both of them, bring them together before the pie is actually going to make sense.
That's the body. That's how the body works.
You know, and I thought of that scripture when we was talking about all this, with everybody being different. And so many times people get around people like us, and they think, oh, y'all know the word of God. Y'all, you know, and they think they can't get where you are, or it's so far reachable, and you just have to start. You just have to start. You know, he said, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The word is not milk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The word that you are moving into, how you're starting. Mm-hmm. It's how you're starting. There's no light word in the Bible. There's no, this is a deep, but this one's not so much.
Yeah,
they're all that. They're all containers of everything that God wants to say, and it's endless. So it's just a beginning. Just begin. And you can't maybe read the whole chapter of Daniel and understand it, but you can begin by reading Matthew and meditate on one scripture.
Join the club.
Amen.
I don't understand half of what I read half the time.
Well, I know who gives it to you. I know that.
What started this whole conversation is my brother is... just has devoured in the last few years the studies of Michael Heiser. And it is, it's deep. And I've tried. And it's not that I'm dumb. I read different and I study different. So when I have to spend so much time looking up one chapter of what they're talking about, that's not me. I'll try it, and I did it, and I keep on doing it because I want to see what exactly are they talking about, you know. And I don't want to go into all that. But look him up. He's different. Pastor Aaron's familiar with him, and I told my brother, I said, I'm going to keep going back to it, but I'm not going to spend all my time trying to figure this out because it's not for me. As far as everything in the Bible is for us, I don't mean it that way. His teachings are different, and they're scripture-based, and I don't know how much, but if I have to try to figure out, is he right on this, or is he wrong on this? I don't understand, and it is a different teaching altogether, and I wouldn't say it's wrong at all, and there's many people that study it, but for me, it's hard when I have to, wait, is that in the Bible? Wait, is that what it says? So I told my brother, I'm going to keep on, and I'll keep, but I'm not spending every day trying to figure out, you know, what the way they studied before, and you know, the Israelites, how they knew the cosmology and all that. And that's what it's about. It's about the plural of heavens. There's heaven and there's heavens. The plural of God and there's gods. You know, and so it's just who are the gods and all this stuff. And I've studied it. And
what's the fruit?
It's amazing. The thing that it did do for me, and this is why, and we're staying on the same subject, because sometimes when you're studying a certain thing, God will reveal things to you. It made me think of how big our God is and how majestic our God is. And he is the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord. And it made me go that way, because they're not taking away from God at all. They're exalting God. But it's just, anyway, the only reason I'm saying that is because... you know, there's different ways to study, you know, and my brother has tried to push that. And I'm like, I get what you're saying and I'll go study it, but don't think I'm on this every day because I'm not. But can we read a scripture, or do you need to go to the other, or don't y'all have a scripture right now y'all are in?
Aaron's asleep on the mic.
To end this topic, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be led off to the idols and could not speak. Therefore, I'm informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God. That the same God activates each gift in each person. Then it goes into the different. And then Romans 12 says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts, prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, showing mercy. And so what it's saying in both of those scriptures is we all learn different. We all study different. We all receive different. This one teaching I'm talking about is hard for me to receive in some areas. It doesn't mean it's wrong. I mean, it's a lot of biblical scholars, or whatever you want to call them, that back it up, and that's okay. But for me, it's a hard study. So I go on to other things, and I'll come back and look a little bit. So everybody learns different. So please don't ever think that, oh, Miss Jeannie knows everything, or Pastor Aaron knows her. You know, yes, we are seasoned, and when we say that, we've been in the Lord a while, and we have studied for years. And God does honor that, and God does give us wisdom, because it said He would in Isaiah 12. He said He would give us the spirit of revelation. He gave Jesus the spirit of revelation and wisdom. So if He gave it to Jesus, He gave it to me. And so I can pray for people and have revelation or have wisdom on a thing or whatever. And so, and if you text me and ask me a question, in myself right now, I may go, I don't really know, but like we all say, but I can find out, and I'll study it, and I'll let you know my opinion mm-hmm. by what I study. And so that's what's the beauty of the body of Christ. We come on here every Tuesday, and we all have a different view on what we just read. And it's a beautiful thing of the body of Christ that we're not all puppets. You know, we're not all...
That's for sure. Yeah. We wouldn't fight so much.
Yeah, if you want to know my inadequacies in the Bible, just play Bible trivia with me. Sure. I am the worst at that. That's why I don't play it.
Really?
I don't play it because whenever they realize how many of these facts I don't know, like where I knew, and I just don't remember because I get really excited in the moment, and then everybody's like, I'm last place, and they think, oh, that's my pastor. Like, I'm not playing with him
well,
again.
Well, see, another way is some people, when you ask them a question, it causes them to freak out, and they can't think, yeah. even though they know it. You know?
Yeah.
I think those trivias, they always ask the wrong questions. They never ask questions like, you know, about salvation.
The gospel.
Yeah. It's always got to be some tree
genealogy.
In Egypt.
Yeah.
Who was the third soldier in the war or whatever?
Can we do theology trivia?
The details that, like, I don't want to say they don't matter because everything, the Lord has shown me every detail in there matters. But to us, it's like that would be lower on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't remember that he was the third soldier in whatever battle. You know?
Well, my problem is, like, I'll get ask a trivia question about something and I'm like, oh, that's really good. Like, what about that? And what about, so I forgot the original question by the time I'm supposed to answer. I'm just thinking about all the repercussions of it. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. So let's do a few minutes in Acts 6, chapter, verse 1. We are getting ready to see Stephen starting to be chosen to serve. So now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So we see what internally within the church, this is probably the first internal conflict we see amongst themselves, mm-hmm. is where one group of widows or the Hellenists were upset and rose against the Hebrews because their widows were what? They felt like the widows with the Hellenists were being neglected more than the Hebrews in this daily distribution. So all these resources and that they were being given at the apostles' feet for the distribution to the needy and the poor and to the saints, well, the apostles had to be responsible for that. Now, I do love, because we won't get very far today, but this is kind of the working out of the first internal conflict. Like, this is the first time in the scripture we have evidence that there was an argument. Mm-hmm. Now, go to church today, and honestly, within 2 Sundays of being there, you're probably going to hear something. Why? Because, well, we're still being sanctified. Like, Holy Spirit's still working on us.
I think we need to call out stuff more.
you were real sweet with that, Aaron. That was so sweet.
I'm much sweeter on here than I am behind the pulpit. And the 12, some, I was trying to think of the best way I could say this, Ms. Karen. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, this was the 12's response to this. I do think the 12 are realizing I don't want to read more into this than what's here, but if I may, this is kind of what I'm seeing happening, and you all can rebuke me or correct me if you think I'm wrong, because I'm cool with that, because, again, we're all about truth. I think the 12's realizing that they did mess up a little bit. Like, it's like, okay, there is probably a little bit of imbalance here, but I'm not going to stop going and preaching. Mm-hmm. and the 12 are like, our job is to be in the Word of God, to be in prayer, to go. Like, they're seeing all these incredible things happen in the street. They're being beat for the sake of the gospel. They're preaching in the synagogues. They're preaching in the streets. They're preaching in the homes. They are literally doing the work of the kingdom in the sense of what they're called to do. And they're like, I think they're realizing there is this imbalance. And I don't know if it's always necessarily intended or not intended. It was just like this was happening. And they were like, but it's not right for us to quit preaching. That's what the 12, because they knew their job. Is that kind of, y'all think I'm seeing this right?
No, yeah,
and they
yeah.
said, so now what we're going to do is raise up somebody, because this is what happens a lot of times. And sometimes it's the pastor's fault. And as a pastor, I will confess that. But sometimes it's not the pastor's fault. It's the expectation of the flock and the leadership around them that they just have to do everything. So if there's a lack in something, the pastor needs to pick it up, or so-and-so needs to pick it up, or we need to get you in there. Instead of equipping people and preparing people and placing people in proper positions, one of the greatest things any leaders can do is to pull leadership, pull giftings, and pull anointings out of people.
Amen.
It's one of the best things that they can do. It's one of the most beneficial things. So, Pastor, if you're burned out, look for people to take the weight with you.
Quit trying to be the only one.
But if you're in leadership around a pastor, and it doesn't matter what church you're at, you know, stop making the pastor be everything. He may be the only paid, supported staff member there. It doesn't mean he has to do everything.
That's right.
And I know when we was working on our 2026 for the elders team just a few weeks ago, it was full consensus. Like, and we have nothing to hide. I'm never hiding anything, so I'm a very transparent person. Like, I told him
what you meant.
I told him that I said this year I want to give myself to the Word of God and teaching and to people. I want to to the extent that I can. I want to stay out of the little trivia maintenance issues or that issue or this issue. I just want to be, and they were kind of all in agreement, like, yes. Now, will I do a maintenance issue or something if it needs? Absolutely. Like, if it has to be picked up or something like that, but to be bothered by every time this was doing or something like that. And it's not, I don't want to use the word bother, but like, other people should be able to be told, we have no paper towels in the bathroom. Like, if I couldn't tell how many times I'm within 2 or 3 minutes of going onto the stage to preach the word, and somebody's come to me and said, we don't have bathroom. We don't have toilet paper in the bathroom. Like, there has to be somebody else that can take that.
That literally happened to me teaching a Sunday school class. Yeah. I was the custodian as well, and they came in my class to tell me that there was toilet paper needed in the bathroom. I'm like, you're kidding. I just can't believe it.
Use your hand, wash them. Okay, let's go. I got things to do.
Take the thing, and you take the little roll thing you put it on there.
But I realize in my own life, there is responsibility on my shoulders for that happening, and then there's responsibility of those around me, too. So it's a shared thing. And so instead of like, well, I guess everybody's going to have to wait for me to preach for 5 minutes for the Word of God, and it's not a prideful thing. It's just like, it was my job to preach a sermon this morning, but we're gonna have to wait 3 or 4 minutes because we're out of toilet paper. Like, I think this is what the apostles are kind of saying here. Like, I'm not going to stop what God's called me to do, to go. Not that we would never. Like, I would say one of the apostles were walking through the street and there was a plate that needed to be put on a table. I don't think they're gonna say that's beneath me. Like, I think Peter's picking up the plate and put it on the table, but I think Peter and the 12 are basically saying, it can't be our job, because our job and calling in this moment is to preach the gospel, prayer, and to give ourselves to the Word of God. And so I think this is where we're starting to see the internal conflict then get solution by the wisdom of God.
I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning. You kind of lit me up. I didn't ever see it before. But in that first verse, when it said that I think your Bible says, what is it? Mine says Grecians, yours says Hellenistic.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this thing between the two, Hebrews and the Hellenistics, you know, don't you think, I do think that they probably knew there was a little imbalance there. Because as they, you remember, they're coming out of, I've only come for the lost sheep. Mm-hmm. Of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's got to be still, and we see today in our churches, you know, I don't want to list a bunch of denominations, but whatever your denomination is, for whatever reason, you struggle to cross the line and help somebody over here on another place. Mm-hmm. And I think we still see this type of thing where people don't, where they do make a difference.
Yeah.
Instead of, look, if I walk past and I don't care what denomination you are, if you need help, we're helping you.
Right, right.
And, you know, if we hear of something, if I hear that over here at Bethel there's something going on that I have the ability to help, I'm coming.
Yep.
You know, and that, I think we need to cross those lines.
And I think the thing that I get out of this situation that went on here is there had to be communication about it. A lot of times, myself included, we don't say anything.
Mm-hmm, it festers.
We let it sit there, and then somebody leaves the church or somebody does this. But what they did is they said, look, we need to discuss this, you know. And just talking about the pastor and other people helping and leaders or whatever, there has to be meetings to say, hey, this is what you're, you know, if you see something, then do it. This is not just the maintenance department's job. You know, you're talking to your leaders. Get people in place. You know, my daddy, he used to say, you know, the captain steers the ship and that's his job. And everything else, and a quality of a good leader and a quality of a good captain is he delegates.
Amen.
He lets people, he gives.
I'm a great delegator.
Yeah, and you give things to people and you trust them with it. But see, maybe not Pastor Aaron, but he probably has experienced it. It's an area of trust. Do I trust that so-and-so can go change that toilet paper holder? And some people, you can't trust, to be honest.
Well, you know, I joke about it.
And you've tried to trust them with that toilet paper holder, but they
they
threw it on the floor.
I joke about this all the time, but it's really true. I mean it with all my heart. I need people.
Right.
I need them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to try to do everything I'm doing
it's
by
myself.
It's
too hard on one person.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's also the doorway to raise up.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And allow those gifts to rise up.
Yeah.
You're hindering your congregation if you are not releasing people in their gifts, and you will burn out. You will get wild. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, oh, well, they got the Holy Spirit, never burn out. Well, you get tired of it. Just be naturally tired of it. You get tired that you got to go change that toilet paper holder all the time.
You get tired of never being called on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They want to be used.
Yes.
People don't even, they're scared, but when you pull them out, they're glad they're there.
Example, someone comes to you or Pastor Aaron right before you're about to preach, you know, and they say, hey, the toilet paper, get so-and-so, he'll do it. The toilet paper's over here, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
go
tell them to go
right
do
there.
It. And
I
they'll
don't
go
know
do
her
it.
Name.
But see, as pastors, well, we might hurt our sheep. No, you're hurting your sheep by not delegating.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
I
will change the toilet paper on a regular one, but I need to figure out the one at the radio because that one's difficult. Okay.
I'll show you.
Any of them that are like that, I got to have best
delegate.
Aaron
show me. Delegate.
And I've done it. I've done it one time. I've done it right one time. And ever since then, it's like I just forgot how to do it.
You just need to go to the toilet paper class.
You know,
but you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? The ones that you got to move the thing.
You always start it to the far left.
Okay. You're not just pulling out the rod. Okay. This is like fancy. This is like you got to move something underneath. And you got two in there.
Yep.
My position is if I can't figure out the toilet roll paper, I'll put it within reach. It
Amen.
Might be on the floor.
Amen.
It might be on the back of the table.
But
you
there.
Will be able to
hey,
get it.
But I won't throw it on the floor. But
well,
in all honesty, though, that's silly example of toilet paper. But a lot of things, like, people are afraid if they don't know how to do it. Or if it's not toilet paper and it's something else, or you know, but
afraid
I think
they're gonna mess up.
Yes, but I think that's part of discipleship.
Yes,
you know,
noticing
that, like noticing if somebody's struggling, or you know, or even that person just, you know, getting over the fear or the whatever embarrassment and just asking, like, I'm sorry, I can't figure out the toilet paper thing.
you might make a mistake, but it's gonna be all right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes to build that and leave room for the. Okay, I didn't get it quite right. That's no problem. We're trying here. We're working on it.
Right.
We're beginning.
Thank you for trying.
And I was going to say this earlier, too. Something about Pastor Aaron, I noticed he really makes an effort to try to talk to as many people as he can and, like, build those relationships. I think that is something that we all have to step up and start doing in the body of Christ and as leaders, because one reason why I believe a lot of people go to him and ask these little questions is because they feel comfortable asking him. Like, they've already talked to him before. They've built somewhat of a relationship there. And a lot of people that I've built a relationship will come to me and ask me things, honestly, that I don't even know about the ministry.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they're hoping that I know, so they just come to me because I've built a relationship with them, you know. And so I think that I could still do better, and there's a lot more people that I could get to know But I think all of us as leaders and whatever capacity that you lead, work on building those relationships because I think that's when people are going to start to not just go to one person to ask them.
And start at the back row. I really start at the back row.
Yeah.
One of the things I saw in that verse number two, it says that they shouldn't leave the word of God, that they should find someone else to serve tables. The one thing about tables there is it's not just about food. It's about a place of collection. It's a place of meat. It's a place of, it's not just to do with serving someone food. It's a place to serve. And it's not limited to one office. It's limited or it's expansive. It's whatever, janitorial, whatever, you know, anything that has to do with the working of the church. That's it's not limited to just one thing.
That's right. That's a good point.
And in verse 3 is the solution. He says, therefore, brothers... I'm sorry, did
you're
I
good.
Just...
You're good. No, you're good.
Okay.
He don't
I just took
talk.
Off. I'm
he
sorry.
Really don't.
Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. There it is. That's the solution.
That's what we overlook.
But but here's the other thing. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry. The proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and names all the people because I can't say those names. They had them stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Now look at verse 7. So the preaching about God flourished. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. So that's your answer.
Absolutely.
If you want to run a church, do this right here.
And it brings forth a commitment.
The most thing overlooked is they don't go off and don't just put somebody over there because they look like a good thing. I mean, really.
Yes,
so many times we do this. You know, this guy, he's got a garage down the street and he's a mechanic. We got to have you.
Yeah.
We're going to start a mechanic ministry. You know, whatever.
Oh, amen.
Hey, come on. No, we don't pray.
But
we
all he
do
does is change oil.
The
more trouble.
We look. Yeah, no, it'd be great.
We look for a body to fill a spot.
That's right.
We look for a person to fill a spot that we consider needed, but it's also to make them feel needed. But see, one of the things about the church is that you can't have Johnny off the street come in and begin to be a deacon.
No.
You know, there has to be some growth. It can't just be anybody.
Because they were of good report.
Right.
It says men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom.
Right. And we need to wait.
And you can have some people full of the Holy Spirit, but don't have much wisdom. Well, and I don't mean that ugly. I just mean they really don't know about some things that you need for that ministry.
Well,
but
see,
we put them in there because they got the Holy Ghost.
Well, you know? Also put people in there that aren't maturing.
Seasoned.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even, you know, but aren't even maturing.
Growing.
And their character don't match. So the next thing you know, you got an undercurrent in your church.
But you've also got a position where you're potentially putting someone in a position that could overwhelm, that takes them away from the learning of, the building of, the increase of the knowledge of the Lord in their life. And you put them in a position too quickly, and it causes them to...
It creates failure for them in their mind. It may not really mean that, but in their mind, I can't do this.
It can also be a hiding place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So many times we put people like techno is big. Technology in any church is always, you know, we all say the demons are there. And if some guy comes in and is really gifted in technology, I've seen this happen. They plug him straight into the tech ministry. He never got to go to a class. He never got to begin to grow in his Bible or be with others and pray. He never got to because you stuck him straight up in there. So what does he do? He comes in every week and is faithful to technology.
Right.
But never gets the other
side. And he doesn't grow.
He goes home.
Yeah.
It's so sad to watch, you know, and I've seen it happen over and over and over. It's so important that we start with that. The care for the person has to be first.
Right. We have to have that attitude, you know, be faithful in a little, and then there will be more.
Right.
There has to be, and again, it's not a work, but it's be faithful in the learning, be faithful in the growing, be faithful in the pursuit of the things of the Lord. Grow, be faithful in that. Mm-hmm. And then we'll move from there.
And you'll see the anointing on each person where they belong as you begin to delegate and show people. You'll, you know, as a leader or pastor, you know, how many times as musicians have we put people that said they could sing, and then you're like, oh my God, or they
or
can sing,
wasn't any good.
Right? That or they can't play with others, you know, that kind of thing. You
I
know, I've had
a
musicians
lot.
A lot that they yeah. do well by themselves. You put them in a group. They want to shine, and it's not good. And then you have to deal with emotions, and you have to deal with family of that person that, you know, and all these things. You can tell I've had experiences, and we all have,
yeah.
of things that, well, they could sing. Let's put them up there.
Yeah.
But are they of good reputation? Are they full of the Holy Spirit?
Holy Ghost, yes.
Especially in your worship. You don't want people that don't know how to flow in the worship.
Exactly.
You know, because they will hinder you. Now, there are some, and I've seen it happen. People grow through that sometimes, and
sure,
a lot of pastors think, well, I'll put them in there, and it'll be accountability thing for them, and a lot of times it does work, but sometimes it's not what God has said for your worship team.
But they don't need to lead.
And when they leave or whatever, you notice the difference that mm-hmm. God is able to do something, but not all the time. Some people grow where they are, and I get that. I've seen that happen too. You know,
and it changes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, just because you were asked to be the janitor. I've been the janitor of 3 churches, by the way.
I've been one, too.
Just because you're the janitor don't mean that's going to be your call forever.
That's right.
You're going to move up. You're going to move into the things that God has for you just because you started out here. And so many times I see people who start out, say, in this is going to be an ouch moment, they started out in children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But they never moved from there, and it wasn't because they love children. Absolutely, that's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's deeper things that God's, it's stirring inside of them, but they don't leave that spot because, again, sometimes ministries are used just to hide,
mm-hmm.
just to stay away from what might be happening over here, and I'd have to come out somehow.
Yeah.
And that scares them. It scares.
Well, I think that's one of the, you actually hit something that's really dangerous to most churches, is children ground is the dumping spot for the beginning of ministry, and it never should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should
yeah.
never be an intro.
That's true.
It should be someone who's called to it.
Exactly.
Like
to actually be planted there.
If I could choose anything to do in a church, it would be being a children's pastor. Any day, you could say, what do you want to do in a church, Aaron? Oh, it's be a children's pastor, because they rock. Like, it is fun. It is energetic.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
They're not going to argue with
it. No, you don't have to worry about somebody. Their division is resolved by a timeout for 2 seconds, and then back in there.
And they're good.
You give them a bracelet or a sucker or something like that. They're happy as
right.
gold. And they love to learn. Like, I love working with children. I know it's not my calling. Like, it is a calling to appoint being a pastor, but to be in children's church is not, it's not my full-time calling by no means, or
maybe
children's
that's
ministry.
That's why he gave you so many children.
Probably.
Yeah.
And a lot of gray hair. But it's, but you know, I think that's one of the problems is that we have developed a hierarchy of ministry that's a stepping stone. One reason I wouldn't stay in youth ministry very long is I felt like people were trying to use that as a stepping stone for me. And I didn't like that because I think teenagers deserve better than a stepping stone of ministry. I think children deserve better than a stepping stone of ministry. I think we should identify where people... Now, Miss Jean, you are right. Our callings sometimes do shift. Like, there may be a season we're in there, but if somebody knows, like, I'm just going to throw it out. Billy Bob gets born again. Billy Bob feels the call to preach. And we're like, well, you have a call to preach, but we're going to start you in children's church. Mm-hmm. And then once you get pretty good with them, then we're going to move you up to the middle school class. And then we're going to move you up to the youth group to try. And then once you get there, then we'll give you a Wednesday night. And then when we give you a Wednesday night, then we'll let you preach on a Sunday morning. Like, it's this hierarchy.
All right.
And I feel like that's where it's dangerous, because then we're actually losing the weight of each ministry. Mm-hmm. And to teach our children the ways of the Lord, what is more important than that?
That's right.
It's not just right. the next generation, it's this generation.
That's right.
You know,
it's more than babysitting.
Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
And I feel like here with these guys, there's nothing about these guys that are trying to move into an apostle.
No.
Like, this wasn't like guys like, I'm going to be a deacon, and I'm going to start as a deacon, and then I'm going to move
to an apostle.
And it wasn't even, these deacons weren't even like, they're just, I'm going to say this as well as I could for a bunch of us Kentuckians to realize this. Well, they're just a bunch of rednecks who know how to get maintenance done, and I've seen them serving tables before. They're really good at it, so we're just going to put them in there. Mm-hmm. Like Miss Jeannie said, is like, we're going to have a mechanic ministry. So let's now, if you're going to have a mechanical ministry, you probably do need to have somebody who knows how to work on cars. It's probably wise. Amen. Okay, I am there, all right?
You probably don't want to put me or Mariah there.
Definitely not Mariah right now. We're working on this whole thing. But here, the way they determined this was like, let's go find men who are, as Crystal said, full of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. who are full of faith, who people think well of. They have the honor of the people.
Yeah.
And let's put them in a position faithful where God people. Can use them. And we keep saying these deacons are here just to serve. I don't really see this scripture where it just says their only job was to serve tables. Like, there was a serving, but what I see these sevens doing, it does say preaching the word of God to serve tables. But I think these men of God were definitely doing a lot more than just serving tables.
I agree.
Because we're getting ready to see Stephen preach one of the greatest sermons mm-hmm. in all the Bible.
I think they were praying for people.
I think they were. Yeah. I think when they were responsible to take the plate to the table, they were also counseling and ministering and doing home visits and making sure that the widows are taken care of.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Praying.
I mean, that leads to that.
Yes. I don't think the apostles were necessarily going always house to house. I think it was the deacons that were going house mm-hmm. to house, making sure people are taken care of, praying, counseling through situations.
Can you be full of the Holy Ghost and him not saying anything?
That's right. So,
they were definitely, that you could feel that right
And
now.
I mean, even
they were
Stephen,
very hands-on.
I think so.
I think that was a really good point that Miss Karen brought up, because when I've read that, I never read it in the sense of, like, when you serve tables, they were serving tables, but what does the table represent? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever thought about it like that. Like, what does a table represent? It represents where people are.
Mm-hmm.
It
represents where people gather. So it's like it was more than just them serving tables in that moment. They were serving people. Mm-hmm. Like, their mm-hmm. whole mission mm-hmm. was, how can I serve people wherever they're at? Even if they're not sitting at the table, if they're standing over there, going over. So I love that, because it made me think about, you know, what does that table represent? It represents where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they probably didn't have like this big old fellowship hall they were meeting in. Like, they were, the distribution of food and stuff was to them. They were going to them, and this is where Acts 2:42 comes into play, 42 through 46. They were continuing house to house, breaking mm-hmm. bread.
So this was an ongoing ministry, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good. And something to add, my translation, which nobody agrees with, I get it.
You better quit saying that.
Really?
No, I mean,
I'm a big translation guy.
I do believe this translation is good, because
I don't even know what it is.
It's the Holman Christian Bible Study, where several scholars
created.
That's
why I don't remember it.
It's a different one. It's kind of, it's ESV, really, is what it is.
I know what it is.
It's ESV.
It's just
a problem with the ESV.
This one says that the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution, and then it says, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. Uh-huh. This here in this translation says that it had to do a lot with the daily charitable donations they were giving out or receiving.
Well, it says business.
Yeah, so it is not just waiting on tables. Right. It was
meeting
receiving
needs.
Money. So you got to mm-hmm, have people that can handle that. You got to have wisdom in your mm-hmm. secretariat, you know, your office, your administrative duties and things. So it wasn't just waiting on tables, you know.
Right.
So,
what tables represented a lot of everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I do love it, because it is, as we start out this whole conversation, the first complaint issue.
Yeah.
But yet, you see where the Lord really resolves it. And he gives leaders wisdom. He's raised up certain men for such a day as this. And it's the word of God's not stopped. Actually, it flourishes. And even more disciples are made. So, I really do love that.
If you're not full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to handle complaints very well. Mm-hmm. You're not going to handle situations, you know. And there is a way. God's way.
Right.
If they just filled a spot, they wouldn't know to seek the Lord for how do I respond mm-hmm. to this person? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Lord, how do I say something
and wisdom
and not kill them? Mm-hmm. I don't want to kill them, but I want them to know this is wrong.
That's right.
You know, it's a whole big thing that only the Holy Spirit can
do. And can I say something about that too? Like when you hear, you know, people out there listening, when you hear full of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Ghost, but staying full of the Holy Ghost. Like, I almost want to add, when you stay full, because that's how, like, I'm thinking about that. And I know times where I've not been as full of the Holy Ghost because I've not been filling myself, allowing him to fill me up. And then those are times where it's harder to deal with things.
Right.
But I think that's why, with being a leader, with being in places where you have to deal with things, make decisions, you have to have wisdom or you just can't, you can't be there.
Right.
You know, that's why it's so important. But even if you're not a leader, maybe somebody's listening, you know, you're not in a position like this, but we all need to be full of the Holy Ghost to deal with the things that are set before
us. Just right there in your home.
Yes. I mean, especially when you're raising a family. I mean, even if you're not even a parent yet, or maybe you're in a different season of life, you have people around you, whether it's your coworkers or just your other family members, that the enemy will try to get in any way that it can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be things that we have to deal with and decisions we have to make, and we have to hold our tongue and have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're in this thing, then there's going to always, with the Lord, I mean, we're going to need that.
And we're going to need to remain full of faith.
Full of faith.
Right.
Full of faith. So this person is always growing in their word.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Full of hope for them, too.
Yeah.
You know. But.
Oh, we lost.
No, I'm here.
I'm
droopy this morning, but
I know,
I'm here.
I'm proud of you. I think you've been engaged very well.
In between naps. Not that you all are boring. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if I've got a fever or not. Just kind of in and out.
I'm going to come find out.
No, yeah, don't come in here. I'm isolated in my own room.
Everybody get
There's glass between us and everything. I always feel like I'm in a prison in here. Just here I am.
Yeah.
Here I am. But no, we're getting ready to take a quick break here in a few minutes. Then where are we going? Let's give them a teaser. Where are we going today?
Don't know.
We'll see. The Holy Spirit will give us wisdom, and we'll figure it out.
We are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, though, so it's no telling.
It's going to be good, so come on back.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, last week the Lord just...
Yeah.
Y'all didn't know where we were going, but he took us right where we needed to go, so it was good.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
It'll be better and better.
Oh, I do think... I did love, we're in this season here as we're getting ready to leave for break. Not like leave, but go to break. that we are just really, we have a lot of things being planned for this new year already. Just a lot of events, a lot of preachers, schedules coming in. Not just preachers, but purposeful. Like, one thing I think the church has to stop doing is just filling time slots. Like, well, this guy's a really good preacher, so let's just bring him in. People come in, they'll be happy, and they'll leave. Like, no, I want to be purposeful about what we're doing. So, like, like this Wednesday and Thursday night coming up with Brother Lance, the Wednesday night's geared towards just tending our fire, coming in and worshiping, hearing the word of God. Like, you know, it's not just come on out, we're having this great meeting. Mm-hmm. Like, or even really just along the lines of, we have Brother Waleed coming in, who's an evangelist. He's going to start training and equipping us here for more evangelism. And how do we share the gospel? How do we communicate the gospel to our neighbors? Youth rally, all these kind of things coming up. It's like very intentional about equipping the body of Christ to be able to do the work of the ministry. And I feel like in our life today, like that's something that we got to be very purposeful about. And Miss Debbie Childress was on with us yesterday for Grayson County Food Alliance. We always love when Miss Debbie comes on. She does a great job and learns so much. And they got a couple of great events going on. And, of course, they do the free tax preparation for anybody making under a certain income threshold. And then they got their Empty Bowls fundraiser coming up. So that I think I wrote it down, but it's another room. I think they're serving 829 families a month now.
Wow, that's
with
great.
Food. But she was on there, but of course in the last 5 minutes, she's very pivotal. I think she does the teaching part of VBS at Crosspoint. So we started talking about, she goes, VBS is right around the corner. If you think about it, it really is. You're just a couple months now.
Yeah.
And so a few months away, she was talking about that. And I love the verbiage that she used, 'cause it was so, you know, when the Spirit of God's moving in because it's unity. And she basically said, we're going to be very intentional about the gospel this year. Just like the same verbiage that we're using, it's the same. And we're not communicating about it, just like the same Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And I love when that happens. And I feel like in the earth today, the moments of emotional fluff that we've tried to stimulate to get people to come back are leaving, and the purposeful equipping, anointing, and sending out of those filled with the Holy Ghost, just like the seven men. I think that's the Crystal released a word about revolution. I think revolution coming in the body of Christ is not better services or just, oh, I feel a lot more goosebumps than I used to feel. This is amazing. We are radically starting to engage with what God's called us to do. And I can just, I mean, what if you really did have an army of church people that every day, like this wasn't, these seven men weren't just going out once a week. Mm-hmm. They were every day daily. Distributing.
Right.
Every day. Like, and I just can't wait to see the reformation, the revolution that really is happening, because I think the revolution that we're getting ready to see is the body of Christ actually moving and doing, not just receiving and eating.
Yes.
What is that one story or saying that you, it's about leaning on a shovel?
Oh, praying for a hole, leaning on a shovel.
That just came back to me because we got to go. But Miss Renee, at the last women's meeting that we had, she spoke a word on digging. And I believe that that's part of being intentional. Like, you can't actually effectively dig if you're not being intentional. Mm-hmm. You can't actually go deeper into what the Lord is having you go into.
To put forth effort.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I think it all goes hand in hand on what the Lord's having us do.
And again, that's not like, oh, I got to save myself. No, like, we're asking for a revival in the earth. We're asking for souls to be awakened. And you know how people believe? It's in Romans, a preacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How else will they believe?
Right.
Except
for the preacher.
Mm-hmm. And preacher. And we're like, Lord, send revival, send awakening. And Jesus is like, they are ready, ain't they? And he goes, yeah, like, do it.
So he chose.
And he said,
things.
Well, the harvest is white. It's ready, but the labors are few. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of verses later, what's he do? 70?
See ya.
We'll see you later.
Yeah.
Like, you got what you asked for. You want revival? Here it is. You go. Yeah. You go. And that's what he did. Like, that was literally the text.
Yeah.
It's that place where, you have to be willing to be the answer to the prayer you pray.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, you want a hole? I gave you a shovel, brother. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Like, you start to dig. You start to preach. You start to tell people. You water. You sow. And I'll give the increase. But if we don't go, I think the lack of miracle signs and wonders is our lack of going. All right, Tuesday question number one. What was engraved on Aaron's headpiece as high priest? What was engraved on Aaron's headpiece as high priest? We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here. We don't have an answer yet for that trivia question. What was engraved on Aaron's headpiece as high priest? What was engraved on Aaron's headpiece as high priest? Well, we are with the Raise a Hallelujah crew alongside Miss Crystal this morning. Miss Hannah has to go to chapel or Bible class. So, surprise. You said it was surprise, but you said it's going to be really good. So, y'all going now?
Yeah, we're going.
You going?
We're going.
We're going somewhere.
Well,
You kept us on the hook.
We're going to play off of what? The ending of what you were talking about revolution and about moving intentionally into this new year of what God wants to do. And Sunday morning, he mentioned that the Lord, that I released a word from the Lord, and I did. And it came from Isaiah 42 and verse 6. And it says, I, Yahweh, have called you for a righteous purpose. All I could think in my head at this point, as I was reading this, was the revolution that is kind of that was going on in Iran. Be it good or bad, whatever it is, they are taking over, and they've said, we've had enough. We've had enough of this government taking from us, stealing from us, hurting our family members, doing all these things. And when, as I read this, I thought about how the body of Christ, it's time for us to stand up and begin to take over the kingdom of darkness and begin to release the kingdom of God. And so it says, I, Yahweh, have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. And which means he's just going to help us all the way through it. Amen. When somebody holds your hand, it's a brace sometimes. It's a comfort sometimes. It's protection sometimes, pulling you back away when they're holding your hand. I will keep you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations. I think the other translation says to the world, to the Gentiles.
Gentiles.
in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another and or my praise to idols. Here we go. The past events have happened, have indeed happened. Now I declare new events, intentional, and I announce them to you before they occur. And so the Lord gave us this word Sunday morning, and again, all I could think of was what would happen in Venezuela about how, you know, the government, our government, America, just went in and overtook that government. And that's what we need to do as the body of Christ. When we say we're going to be an intentional move of God, we want to be the body of Christ that He's called us to be, then we have to intentionally stand up against evil. We have to intentionally speak out against evil, and we have to begin to move in what God is telling us to do. All morning we've been talking about the diversity of gifts and the diversity of callings and the diversity of the body of Christ, even amongst churches, you know, Catholics helping Baptists, Baptists helping Pentecostal, Pentecostal helping non-denominational, you know, getting past those barriers and causing this revolution. I guarantee you in Iran or in Venezuela, when they came in to overtake, they didn't worry about, oh, this neighborhood or that neighborhood. They were all in agreement. We are thankful that our government is going to change. The kingdom is going to change. The kingdom of darkness has to go, and we as the kingdom of God has to come to the earth. It is on the earth, you know, but we have to move in it, you know, the heaven and the earth coming together as one, the kingdom of God being on the earth. And that's us. That's us that inhabit the Spirit of God. And we inhabit the kingdom of God we are the kingdom of God, and we have to move out in this.
We're ambassadors in it.
There you go.
Amen.
You remind me of a scripture when you said what you said. Where he said in Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
And that word prevail against means it will not overpower what we're doing. If we will take what God has given us, His Spirit and His Word, and walk into the places where darkness has prevailed. He promises here that those gates, gates represents that we are going to go through, we're going to knock open the gates to rescue the people out.
The strongholds.
It's not, you know, it's not the other way around. We're going to storm the gates. And amen.
And finish reading the rest of it.
Go ahead.
I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven.
Right.
And so as we move intentionally into what God has for us, you know, we just started praying Sunday morning. And my prayer was like, God, I've had enough of the enemy trying to destroy my family, my ministry. You know, I spoke, and I know I'm repeating, but I was saying for 2 years, I was sick of, you know, trying to be held down. And I said, the devil is a liar and I'm healed. And being in a place at another ministry where I was not used and clamped down. And I said, you know, it's a time, and I don't judge that. I'm just saying it's a time for me personally. I'm ready to move and I'm ready to go intentionally into what God has called me to do. No more holding back.
That's right.
Moving out in boldness with the Spirit of God within me, knowing that the anointing will show up. The anointing will speak to me just as it did in Acts that we just read, that I'll be full of the Holy Spirit, a person of good reputation and wisdom, and move in that.
You know, the Lord told me something like that one time. It's when I taught my first class ever at Corinth. I had studied. I didn't know for sure. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know, you know. And the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to move and wait.
Right.
And that's what He's talking about, what you're saying right there. He wanted me to move in what He had and to wait for His anointing to show up. And He said it would, and it did.
Amen.
And know? I love Isaiah, what you read there in mm-hmm. Isaiah, because, you know, we read over words mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. and we just run through them.
Right.
And he said, I, the Lord, have called you that's in right. righteousness.
That's right.
That's every person that's ever been born again.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And he said, I will hold your hand.
Right.
My gosh. And keep you and give you
that's right.
for a covenant.
That's right.
You're already in the covenant,
right?
Whoever you are. You're, mm-hmm. if you're born of his spirit, you're already in the covenant.
That's right.
But he said, I will give you to the Gentiles.
That's right.
I will give you to those who are without.
And there's a covenant that I'll go
so
with you.
So somewhere, you know? God wants to give you to somebody.
Right,
tonight.
Right.
Amen.
Because he said, my translation says, he called you for a righteous purpose. Mm. A purpose. And that comes from, you know, that goes with the word intentional. An intentional purpose. That on purpose, I'm going to step out today. Now, am I going to want to? Am I going to be nervous?
Is it going to be
am
inconvenient?
I going to be yeah. Am I going to be intimidated, uncomfortable? Yes. You know,
sometimes
my personality is not to just walk up to a total stranger and say, hey, can I pray with you? It's just mm-hmm. not as outgoing as I am. I can stand on a stage among thousands. It doesn't bother. Well, you know, within reason, it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But put me one-on-one to be walk up to someone, I get uncomfortable. Because what are they going to say to me? You know, but, you know, if I'm intentional, I have a word from God and I have a vision and a purpose that I'm going to move out in it.
Well, let me ask you something, though, because remember, we're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now. So when if you're walking into this place where there's lots of people or whatever,
right.
strangers to you, mm-hmm. and the Spirit of God said, I want you to talk to that person right mm-hmm. there. You're headed there.
That's right.
You're headed
right.
there.
Right. You're not going
to. And so when you walk intentionally, what you don't understand is he's still holding your hand.
Right.
You ain't going over there by yourself.
That's right.
So he's intentional through you in that place.
And why?
Ahead.
Because he says to open their blind eyes.
Right.
If we could look at it with a heart of compassion, that to bring out prisoners. Prisoners from the prison or from the dungeon, mine says, or from the pit, and those sitting in darkness from the prison house.
Come on, go set somebody free.
Yeah. If you go with that mindset, that I'm not just going to, let me lead you to, I'm bringing those people out of darkness.
That's right.
They will not go to hell.
You're getting rescued here.
Yes, right.
And you know, I think in the same context, but verse that popped out to me this morning or I was thinking about was 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and it said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because mm-hmm. this is talking to us, when you received, there's that word, received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at Isaiah 42 there that we're sitting in right now, if we would come to the place understanding that those are not words of man,
mm-hmm.
those are words, that's God's words.
That's right. His words. That's
it, is the truth.
Right,
it is the mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah.
It is the word of God.
Right.
And he says that if you believe that, it's going to work in you.
That's right.
Amen.
It's going to do
that's
something
right.
in
right.
you. And that's the thing. We have got to receive the... I've come to church before and walked out of there saying, well, I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because I wasn't listening.
Mm-hmm. Intentional. You weren't
you know,
on purpose.
The thing of it is, it's God's word. He said it's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So did I go in there prepared to receive?
Mm-hmm.
Did I have an expectation that today what God said to me, he meant?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Amen.
And I think that if we would look at it from that God said that.
Right.
He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold your hand. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to give you as a covenant to open blind eyes, to take them out of this darkness. If we believe that,
yeah,
we'll move.
That's right. That's right.
There's a little cross reference on there. It says in Matthew 10, he that receives you receives me, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
Look what you just set them up for.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Right. If we look at it, it's not about us. It's about them. We've been brought out of darkness.
That's
Thank
right.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
But what about the others? What about those that have not? that are waiting on someone, or maybe they don't even know what they're waiting on, but they know there's something out there.
Right.
They know they need something. They know they're in darkness, and they don't know what to do about it. And here we are, oh, praise you, Jesus, and I'm in church, all about me. And I'm just asking God, give me a heart of compassion. Give me a heart for the lost.
You know, Jeannie, May, I can't remember it exactly word for word, but it's made an impact still. you said one time that you didn't always live in the joy of the Lord. Remember that the thing of it is that we don't always walk in this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We are the bearers of light. Do you walk in that?
Right.
Do you walk in that place that he said you are the salt of the earth? Do you walk in that? If we heard that word, we receive that word, and we believe that it's the word of God that is effectually working in us, we're going to do something it's going to carry us.
Well, I don't know. The Lord keeps bringing that back to me. Why did America get involved in Venezuela? But the reason why is we couldn't watch that any longer.
Right.
As a nation, our hearts had compassion on an oppressed people.
We've been in that nation.
That's right.
And that's what's kept us all these years.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that came up out of our faith
that's
in
right.
God.
Right. Exactly. So I'm saying, you know, our government went in and took over that government. And that keeps ringing in my mind of the Iranian people also, just two different places, rising up and saying, we have had enough of being oppressed. We're coming out. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't even know what their motives are. I just saw them taking over. Now, is it rebellion? I don't know. I'm just saying it's a revolution starting for them to say, we have had enough of being oppressed.
It's a righteous rebellion.
Right, exactly.
If that's such a thing.
Exactly. Right. I don't know how else to say
it. You rebel
against
darkness.
Amen.
And that
just keeps stirring in me about the kingdom of God rising up. Me rising up saying, I've had enough. I don't want to be oppressed anymore. I don't want to be just comfortable anymore. And when you make a prayer like that, God's like, oh, really?
I can't remember her name. I feel so bad right now because it's not an easy name to remember. But George Whitten's wife.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
I do know who she is, but
okay.
I don't know
her. Can't pull the name off. Well, she has a song. It's out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's called Rise Up. My gosh. It's that warring type
right.
song.
Mm-hmm.
That,
right.
It's what we're talking about here.
Right. And that's what's stirring in me, and I know in so many right now. That's why Pastor Aaron's saying intentional, mm-hmm. which means, you know, what you had a teaching years ago, boots on the ground. You remember that?
Yes.
Boots on the ground. And that just, you know, there goes the Holy Spirit bringing back up.
Yeah.
Boots on the ground. It was a ladies' meeting, wasn't it?
Yep.
And it was all about, let's do something. Let's
Amen.
Put our hands to the
Amen.
Plow. Let's move out.
I mean, you got me stirred up to go now. I'm ready to go. Where are we going?
Let's go walk.
March.
Let's go walk around the neighborhood.
We'll keep going to stir up some dust.
Right. About what is God saying intentionally on purpose to us. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, that he has called us for a righteous purpose.
Amen.
And man, that just hit me and revolution hit me, and I don't know what that means for me, but I know a boldness is going to and is coming on me to just do what God said to do. You know,
he's got an army.
That's right.
He does. And I think he's calling that army.
Right.
He's calling those people. You know, because who are those people? Those people that have left their life behind.
That's right.
Because they know he's got me.
That's right.
And, you know, and I think so much in the church, what I see people constantly just trying to get their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get us four no more.
That's
Come on,
right.
Take care of me. Take care of me. And they never walk in the victory that they could experience if they just get their mind off themselves
right.
for
right.
a minute.
That's right.
Come
That's
on,
right.
let's just be about the kingdom's business,
mm-hmm.
and you will find that the things that were tormenting you are not there.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
I figure whatever's going to torment me is going to have to follow me to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what you find is
it's going to go.
It's not coming
right.
with me. It's not
there.
Coming into his
That's
presence.
Right.
It's
right.
not going to do it.
And this intentional purpose is all for the body, not the body of Christ, for the lost.
It's for the
lost. soul, or even the body of Christ that is in darkness or in bondage.
We still need to minister to the body.
You know,
that's right.
Just whoever God. And I have some, thank God I'm blessed. I have some teaching opportunities coming up, and I'm so excited because I'm like, not just teaching, but ministry. You know,
amen.
We have so many opportunities to hear preachers or teachers or whatever. But what about, let's stop the teaching and let me lay hands on you. Yeah. Hey, God just
right.
told me,
saying,
you,
yeah, let's just do that
you,
thing.
God's yeah. just told me this. God just, right. and setting that person free, and not me, the Holy Spirit using me to set people free. And that's just where I'm at. I'm like, God, I'm ready to be move out in your righteous purpose.
Who that's is right. he going to use?
Right.
When you're talking about that, say you're in a church service or whatever, and who will he use in the gifts of the Spirit? The one that's desiring it
right.
the most.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. It's the one who's desiring right. him that way.
Right.
You know, if we talk about these things right. and desire what God's showed us in his word is available
right.
through those gifts, they start operating.
That's right.
But when you never talk about them mm-hmm. and you never desire them and you say that well, we, you know, we just, I don't know if I believe that.
Right.
Don't worry. It's right. not going to happen.
Exactly.
It's not.
Yeah. God's a gentleman. He's not
right.
going to force himself on
you. But the Spirit of God will move wherever the heart mm-hmm. says yes.
Yes.
You
and
know,
go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, again, Joshua, I love what God said to Joshua.
Strong.
You know, about his, you know, Moses being dead,
yeah.
but he's going to be.
Joshua
but
1.
Joshua 1, he says in verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall mm-hmm. tread upon, mm-hmm. that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Do we yes. really get that?
Exactly.
Do you really get that everywhere you walk today, God said, you can have it. You can have this place. You can have this mm-hmm. place right here where this person's hurting. You can have that place.
Right.
I can heal them right now.
You know, in Deuteronomy, he says, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be.
Amen.
Man, y'all, that's
and
now.
And finish reading, or I will, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above mm-hmm. all, be strong and very courageous.
Right.
You know, this is that stepping out into
right.
that righteous
right.
purpose. To carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you'll have success wherever you go. This book of instruction will not depart from your mouth. You're to recite it day and night. You carefully observe
right.
everything
yeah.
written in it. And again, he says it to him again. Do not be afraid.
And that's, you know what, that, and I always want to stress this. When he says, do not be afraid, number one, he said it a lot.
Right.
Yes.
You know why he said it a lot?
Because
everybody was afraid. So when you have fear come on you, do not think that's some strange thing that none of the rest of us are dealing with.
That's right.
We all are dealing with that. But he said, don't let that be the deciding factor. Go ahead, and nobody has ever said this any better, I don't think, than Joyce Meyer. Do it afraid.
Do it afraid, yeah. yes.
That's what Joshua did that day.
Mm-hmm.
He moved on afraid.
That's right.
And so don't get an unrealistic view of what's going on here. Many of us, I watched a girl last night give her testimony afraid.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was powerful.
That's right.
It ministered
the
to
Holy
the room.
Spirit.
Everyone was able to say what they got out of it.
Mm.
I mean, come on, y'all.
Yeah. Well, it says, you know, wherever you go,
Wherever you go. And, you know, it's that one, let your faith be bigger than your fear.
Yes.
Let
faith
what God,
over fear.
Let what God said be bigger than what you fear,
right.
because it is bigger
That's
than
right.
what you fear.
He didn't say that you wouldn't ever fear.
That's mm-hmm. right.
He just said that he didn't give it to you.
That's right.
I think he right. talked about not being afraid 365 times.
You got to be kidding.
One for every
day. Yeah, one for every day.
You know, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy.
See how educated
we are? Yeah. There you go. There's those big words. Deuteronomy 1:6 says, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, said, you have stayed at this mountain long enough.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Resume your journey. And go to the hill country of the Amorites, and he tells them all these different places you need to go. See, I've set the land before you.
Mm-hmm.
Enter and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers, Abraham, mm-hmm. Isaac, Jacob, and their future descendants, which is me. You've stayed at this mountain long enough.
I might have to go redo the mommy.
You know what? I said that same thing to myself. I'm serious. A long time ago, of course, I'd already heard teaching about going around the mountain and how the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years for a seven-day trip or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very long to get from where they were to Canaan.
11 days, yeah.
11 days?
I think it was 11 days.
Okay. And so I heard a teaching about, you know, but they kept going around the same mountain because they wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be obedient. They were murmuring and complaining.
Right, and,
you know, and that's what I was doing. I was murmuring and complaining, and I've gone years dealing with a situation that should never have taken that long.
That's right.
And I kept crying out to the Lord, and I finally reached the place where I said, I am not going around that mountain again.
That's right.
Whatever it takes. Whatever, and it took some things. Mm-hmm. It took me laying down my life. Mm-hmm. It took me quit getting wanting my way.
Right.
That's what it took.
Yeah.
And when I laid it down.
That scripture, I got it from when I went through a divorce. I believed God for my ex-husband for 2 years and just kept walking and believing and standing. And so one day the Lord gave me that scripture and said, you've stayed here long enough. It's time to move
on. That's a good word.
And when I released it and let it, you know, whether God wanted that restored or not, I released it and let it go. Then God moved me into different types of ministry, and I was able to do a lot of things.
Well, you know, you're talking about that mountain. I think you also said about that mountain. That mountain's so big, there's got to be gold in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So just go right on through.
When you see that impossible thing. Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's gold in it.
So many times when we face real difficulty, like James talks about, count it all joy when you fall into. Because why? There's something in this.
That's right.
There's something in this.
That's right.
God didn't bring a calamity into your life. He brought, but you might as well take that calamity and turn around and find out what God can do.
Because
what he'll do is he'll bring you out and you'll learn something so valuable. Mm-hmm. I've never, a lot of people do, but I don't. I've never thanked God for the hardships in my life. Mm-hmm. But I do thank him for taking me through them.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Thank him for the mountains, and I thank him
come
for the valleys.
Well, Joshua,
I wonder if we was going to sing today or not.
Joshua 1:5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
That's right.
Now, we were going to go in. We're going to, I'm assuming, use the last half hour of this to go into the gifts of the Spirit.
That's right. Yeah.
And
do we need to take a break, Aaron? Are we doing
need to answer, see who answered the trivia or anything?
Well, we do have an answer for the trivia. Brother Steve finally got it right.
Woo!
Like, it was a little tricky. Like, Miss Gretchen almost threw him off a little bit because
she's like that.
She was there is a part where it's inscribed the 12 tribes. But that was not what she was looking for. She was looking for a phrase later on, and the phrase was holiness to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Exodus 38, I'm 28, 36 through 38. So,
good stuff. Can anybody send in questions?
Sure. Anybody can send in questions.
I want to do a question.
Yeah, trivia question.
All right.
Yeah, just tell Gretchen.
Okay.
Tell Gretchen.
I'll do it.
She is our question queen.
Are we going to take a break?
Question queen.
Huh?
Do the trivia.
Well, let's do this. Before we go to break, we're going to debut something. So, Miss Leslie, do you want to go in that room and jump on that mic real fast?
Oh, okay.
Lesson Downs is here with us.
Woo.
And she is going to, this is a debut for her new song today.
All right. Okay.
And so she's going to introduce this song to the listeners before we go to
that
break.
That may change how we end this.
She's going to come get settled in real fast.
What's that scripture? Man plans his way, but the Lord orders our steps.
Yeah. Here we go.
We didn't have a problem with not knowing where we was going.
No, we didn't have any issues with that.
Yeah, well, she's got a song debuting today, and so she's going to come in here and intro and share a little bit about this song, and we've got it queued up ready to play. So, we're going to play that during our break here in a second.
Okay.
But before that, Miss Les Downs, tell them about this new song.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessings. On your Tuesday, it's my release day. It feels good to release things.
Amen.
You know, that's
Amen.
Biblical.
Yeah.
So we are here to release something today. And it's this acoustic version of a song that I wrote with my friend Jordan Evans. And it's titled Trust in You, Lord. And it's based off of Proverbs 3:5-6. Mm. Trust in the Lord. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So it is straight biblical.
Yeah.
Coming straight from those verses, and it's just trust in you, Lord. You know, I'm going to lean not in my own understanding.
Now, was there a certain spot in your life that this song was birthed from?
It was birthed in a time of seeking, but it was studio version was released last October, and last October was the first month that I had officially stepped down from my position in the church as director of worship and ministries, and I'd served in a church continuously for 15 years, and God said, I'm calling you to something new. And I'm like, but I know this. This is what I know. Like, you're asking me to do something I'm not 100%. I don't know what it looks like. And he's like, I do. So just trust me. That's the whole walk by faith and not by sight.
Go read Isaiah 42.
Right. Yeah. That's there. Where it's like, but I don't know what it looks like. Can you show me? And that's the thing about God being the coach of your life. He doesn't give you play-by-play. Mm-hmm. He calls them out. He calls them out, not from the sidelines, but right there by your side. That's He's calling them out play-by-play, and you're trusting.
Right.
Okay, all right. I might get hurt, but I'm progressing. Yeah. Okay, we've got our end goal, so to speak.
Yep.
So moving forward. But it was released, and I had preset those releases in advance. And when the time came, and that was the release that came out first that month, it was, oh my goodness, you knew.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He'll take the promises you made, the things you've said, the things you've proclaimed, and bring them back to you. And you're like, oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now it even hits even harder.
Right.
Like, then it hit that first day, but then a year later, it's like, oh my gosh, you knew.
Yeah.
You knew.
You see the providence of the Lord in action.
Yeah, and
there.
He's just so faithful. I mean, he knows everything.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's definitely like a release. You can relax in the fact that you don't know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find that more and more every day.
That was well said.
Yeah. Instead of getting worked up about it, you can just rest in it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I always say you get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Really,
that's part of walking in faith, man.
Yeah.
So Leslie,
it's uphill.
Isaiah 42 is what we've been talking about. It says, I Yahweh have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. That's what we've been reading.
That's,
and I will keep you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people, a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister. Yes.
So it goes right along with what you're saying about the trust you had to go through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, the light to your path, it is not some giant spotlight that just, or a headlight that's like you can see so far ahead of you, like some of these trucks that you pass in the night. Where you're like, Jesus, is that you?
Try doing it old.
Lord, is this the end?
Is that an angel?
No, it's just a giant Ford. But I'm like, what are those made out of? Like just bits of sun embedded in the front of someone's vehicle. Like, what is that? But yeah, that's that thing. That is not that light to your path. It is the next step.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Straight down,
right.
Where you have your hair your head down in prayer, and you're looking straight like, where am I going, Lord? And he's like, just keep going.
Amen. Well, this is the debut day for this song. Trust in you, Lord. Amen.
Woo! Ooh, that was good.
Love that. Love that. Oh,
good,
man.
Good word and song.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in you,
we were talking
Lord.
About songs earlier with scriptures in them, so there you go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Those are the best ones.
Right.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
Yes.
They are.
Yeah. As a pastor, I agree.
yeah.
Amen. You don't
it's
have
not
to...
just going live. It's bringing life. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I actually was sharing that. Like, you know, I've been on hymns a lot lately. I don't know what it is. I've just been in that season. But I've loved the singing and hearing songs that are scripture. Just just straight scripture. Not saying anything against the other song. I love those too.
It's dripping in oil.
Yes.
Yeah, just dripping in it. Like it's just saturated with anointing. So many of those old songs.
Right.
Yeah. That are just, yeah. And that's how they remembered scripture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was through song.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
About like memorization is you're repeating and you sing it.
And that's what a hymn does. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, man. And verses.
Boy, they took that verse about repeating. They ran.
They were going to get it in their spirit.
Their work was hard back then. Their work was hard. Things were going on. And they're out there doing these things, and they begin to sing.
That's right.
You know, and they're singing out of where they are. Mm-hmm. They're not just singing a song like we do today. You know, oh, pray, I love that song, you know, or whatever. But they're singing out of need.
That's right.
They're singing out of hurts. They're singing out of purpose that they need to, you know, they're losing their hardship in the Word of God.
That's right.
It's what you were talking about. You know, walking, and they were birthing something, mm-hmm. you know, out of where they were. Something was being birthed.
Well, we mentioned earlier, too, that usually, you know, a song that has scripture in it, too, usually connects with a testimony in your life or connects with something that you have been through. Because you could think of songs and you're like, God, I remember mm-hmm. when I heard that song, or I remember when that scripture meant so much to me, because it connects to that. Mm-hmm. That time or that testimony, because that's just God uses His word to heal, to minister, to do whatever, you know. So it is so important.
It'll bring me out. Yeah. It'll bring me out almost anything.
And you realize back then, too, they didn't have radios, a lot of them, when they wrote those hymns. They didn't, you know, some of them did, I know. But most of them were just out of a heart of just singing because they had that was their entertainment, to worship the Lord. They didn't have, you know, phones and laptops and all that kind of stuff. All they had was their song.
Could you imagine the moment that he is sitting there in the part of the ocean to where his family dies?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And out of his heart being healed in that moment, it is well. Could you imagine? I mean, like, we read that today and we sing the song and we still are brought to tears, but the healing of the Lord in his heart at that moment where he's surrendering it to him. And he's just like, it is well, Lord.
And so quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
So quickly.
That's right.
It takes us months.
Years.
You know.
A lifetime's enough for some people, yeah.
But I couldn't imagine.
No, it's a hard thing to imagine.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine the presence of the Lord that's on that boat in the ocean when he starts to pin that at that moment where he's like, he's looking at the spot where his family dies.
Right.
And he's just, it is well with my soul.
I think it comes from a place where maybe he understood that was all he had.
That's right.
He lost so much, and that was all he had.
That's right.
You know, he's out there in the middle of the ocean all by himself. All he had was the Lord.
And you know, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, it makes me, you know, I love some old hymns, and, you know, I love that one where it talks about Jesus, Jesus, how I love him, how I proved him, or. That really speaks to me, how I proved him.
That's right.
It's that, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think trust is a good theme woven through all that.
Yeah. And, you know, wherever he leads, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Now, that takes something. That takes something to say that.
That's right.
I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. That's saying something.
And the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. And then though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, he's just singing like, so a trial, you know, we take it as, oh, a trial. He just lost everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Mm-hmm. It is well, it is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with
My soul, it is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. Whatever our lot, God, this morning.
Yes.
Whatever our lot, God, it is well with you. And we thank you, Father God. We just thank you right now for the revolution, God, that is coming, God. The revolution that is here, that the kingdom of God is rising up to take over the kingdom of darkness, God. And we thank you that, Father, you said you have called us for a righteous purpose, God, to open the eyes of the blind, to set those free that are in prison, God, set them, that those that are in darkness would come out, God. And we thank you that, Lord, whatever our lot, whatever you have us to do, whether it be song or ministry or word or whatever it is, God, in word or deed, God, we thank you that, Father, you will show us and lead us and encourage us that it is well. Just begin to step out. God, we've read scripture after scripture that said, you've stayed at this mountain long enough. Now go in and possess the land, God. That's what
the
you
gates
said.
Won't hold up.
That's right. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of
thank
God.
You, Lord.
And we thank you for that today, God. We bless you today, God. And Lord, we just worship you right here on Box 2 Radio.
Yes, yes.
That God, even with Box 2 Radio, we will thank you that it's going to intentionally begin to prick the hearts, Father God,
Lord,
of the lost. That God, there is purpose in this radio station, that it goes out over the airways, that we can share song, we can share the word, we can share ministry, we can pray for others, God. And we thank you that, Lord, it is also transitioning into the revolution, God, that you have for this radio station, God. I just believe that that is a word of the Lord for the body of Christ, revolution taking over in Jesus' name.
Yes, and we pray over our sister right now.
Amen.
As she released out of her what you had given her, Lord, now let it release from her.
Amen. Yes.
And go to the places that needs to hear it.
Amen.
The place that let this song come up out of her and begin to release others.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, and it be part of it because it's very intentional. I pray all her needs be met. I pray that everywhere she turns, you have provided.
Amen.
And Father God, just let this oil she talked about, this is dripping from it.
Yes.
Lord, let that drip from the words of this song, because this song has you in it. This song has spoken what you spoke.
Amen.
We bless her today, Lord. We bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Abba.
You know, one of the most underrated parts of the Bible and the Gospels, and I always love this, and the Scripture interprets it as Mary said, but in reality, she sang it.
Yes.
And Mary and Luke chapter 1.
My soul.
And she had just encountered Elizabeth. John leaps in the belly. The Holy Spirit's filled. Like, everybody's like, this is great. Like, Mary's like being threatened with divorce. Mary's getting ready to have to flee her home. Mary's getting ready to have to go through all these things. Mary is a young girl, honestly. Most scholars believe she's anywhere from 14 to 16 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's looking at her. She's going to have to leave her home. She's ostracized. Joseph wanted to divorce her. And yet she lifts up this song of praise. And the very first verse in Luke 1:47.
Come on.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy his name. And we can think like, oh yeah, Mary, you're going to be the mother of Jesus. And we're like, oh yeah, like that's great. But in this moment, her life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Her life is not great.
That's right.
Like she's getting ready to lose everything. And she's a young kid, honestly. Like,
right.
In all honesty, like, she's a young kid. We call her a young kid if this was today. And yet she can say, what great things. And I mean, it's an incredible song. This whole little song she sings
is
here is amazing, that she sings unto the Lord. But to me, like, I think when I sit back and think about these moments of great songs in the Scripture, so often they came out of deep parts of hurt mm-hmm. and pain, mm-hmm. oh, yet absolutely. It's still this expression of right. praise that come out of their lips. So,
yes,
amen. Well,
yeah. amen.
It is well.
Yeah,
that's a, you look that's at a good what came too. Out of the suffering that Jesus went through. I mean, we can't follow him and look to never suffer, mm-hmm. to never go through some difficult things. But aren't we stronger in our faith past that? In that, through that, like
whatever my
yeah.
lot,
yeah, it's that's, doing it. Yeah, yeah, it's doing a work.
Like it's not sure. that God ordains. I think a lot of what we're going through in this world where we are, it's a fallen world, and it's fallen because it's fallen away from Him. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that fallen world, when we stay close to Him and we're not falling away, it's a different perspective on the things we go through. You know, because. Mm-hmm. He's there with us through it all. And I think if he had the choice, which he did at one point, you know, in the beginning, yeah. this is how I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then this is how you chose, you know. Right. So just trusting him in those struggles and knowing that there is so many facets and layers to things we go through that we can't even fathom yet. We can't even imagine yet. It's not even in the scope of our small minds to even fathom the multifaceted plan of God. Mm-hmm. That everything I've been through, when I encounter someone else in ministry that's going through something, there's a deeper compassion there. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had a kidney infection, if you've ever had your back go out, if you've ever, like, different things that at one point in my life, you know, heartburn, I've had it once, and I think it was to have compassion for when someone says heartburn. Because I had no idea what they were talking. I thought I was dying.
You had to make
and
me
my
jealous,
brother was
didn't
like
you?
My brother was like, so what's it feel like? And I'm like, oh, it's just burning, and it was after hot wings. And he goes, oh, that's here, have some Tums. That's heartburn. I was like, this is what you've been talking about. It's like, yeah, I have it all the time. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I was so heartless. I didn't know. I just pictured that funny cartoon commercial as a kid about heartburn. I didn't know.
Knocked you right off that horse, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I had no idea. But right. you know, I've never had my back out, and someone's saying now when someone's man, I pulled my back, I put my back, there's a whole compassion
right.
that's like, man, I'm sorry, let's pray for that. I'm sorry you're yeah. going through that. That's yeah. that's tough. You don't know it's tough until you've right. gone through it yourself. Yeah.
Mine is kidney stones. Like, somebody says they have a kidney stone, I'm like, oh, just, let me buy you flowers. Let me get you chocolate. Like, anything.
Chocolate.
Like,
you need a milkshake.
I mean, let me I'm get so you sorry.
If you've had a kidney stone, it's hard to have a heart of one. Amen.
Oh, my God.
There is compassion.
I mean, my heart, I am weeping with those who weep at that point.
I want to say, you know, fast forward, and I can fast forward to this age that I'm at now, and but the trials, as I over the years, they don't go away. So you know, we waller around in them too long, and I learned to say, Lord, just teach me everything I need to see, mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. I need to learn mm-hmm. in this, I want to learn it. That's and right. I take that posture with him about it. And because I know we're going through it.
Yeah. Right.
We're going
yeah.
through
we're
it.
We're not staying here.
I'm yeah. not, and I won't spend days and days and days wallowing in it. Mm-hmm. And so
that's
right. It's a.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's just an intentional thing as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to read Proverbs 3.
Yay.
Can I?
It's one of my yeah. favorites.
Yeah. It said, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones.
Amen.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth,
Amen.
Even as the Father the Son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lay down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you, when thou hast it to do it now. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with man without cause, if he had done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the forward is an abomination of the Lord to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the inhabitation of the just. Surely he scorned the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be promotion of the fools. Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. It's a good chapter.
It's a good place.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We good did morning.
Good. We did good.
For not knowing where we was going.
There's five singers in here. You're fortunate that we didn't break out.
Well, we did a little bit.
There's six people in here, Jeannie.
Singers, we said.
I know there's six.
Well,
I include you. What's the matter with me?
That might just be a confirmation error. Or you just said it so many times.
I felt the shot. Okay, I got it.
Pain grows us.
Well, incredible song, Miss Lessendown. Thank you for coming on and debuting with us. Thank you all, the Raise a Hallelujah crew, and Miss Crystal and Miss Hannah over there in the floor. just looks like a little oop oop with her head just sticking up over there. I see her bouncing, and all you see is her head coming over up and down the desk.
Don't bring up that Wednesday night.
Yeah, that was really funny. Well, we are out of time for this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And may his light shine upon you. Go and tell somebody the good news of Jesus, that there is hope in a hopeless situation, and there is joy when everything seems to be falling apart. Mm-hmm. And that is found in the anchor of our hope, Jesus Christ. We love you. We bless you. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.